So, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142B, page 588. We've been talking about the massed intent, the ability of humanity and hierarchy to stand together with massed intent. The mass has a kind of massed intent, which expresses the power of appeal, vocally and through the heart. But a higher type of massed intent, which I said, will, I think, come in under Vulcan, maybe with the discovery of Vulcan, which may be imminent, who knows. That will be the planet ruling the type of massed intent that we're talking about here. And to that massed intent of hierarchy and humanity will be added the intermediary group. Now, if we're talking about Sanat Kumara here, we're talking about the heart center, the Ajna center, and throat center of Sanat Kumara. Of the planetary logos, humanity is said to be the throat center, but of Sanat Kumara, his extension, humanity is said to be the Ajna center, but of Sanat Kumara, who is the extension of the planetary logos, the new group of world servers is the Ajna center. Maybe humanity becomes the throat center in some respect. That's a difficult one. And the heart center, I suppose, remains hierarchy, remains to be hierarchy. So these have to come together to the massed intent formed by humanity, and the hierarchy must be added the focused will of the world thinkers and intuitives who use their minds and brains in the affirmation of the light. So they are needed. You know, when you're looking at what group represents what center, you have to say, well, okay, in the planetary logos, these groups represent a certain center. In Sanat Kumara, they represent maybe different centers. In humanity itself, they represent still different centers. Let us say that the hierarchy is more likely, in a way, in humanity to be the head center, whereas the new group of world servers would be the heart center, and the intelligentsia would be divided according to their rank between the throat and the Ajna center. That would be in humanity itself. And then, of course, the masses below the diaphragm and so forth of that being we call humanity. We are told of Sanat Kumara, who is in a way a lesser being, or at least an emanation and thus a partial expression of the planetary logos, that the new group of world servers is the Ajna center, and therefore humanity would have to be a lower center than the Ajna center. It would have to be, let us say, the throat center within Sanat Kumara. And the hierarchy still, I think, is occupying the place of the heart. But then when we come to the planetary logos, we have something peculiar. Hierarchy is still the heart center. And humanity becomes the Ajna center. What then do the new group of world servers become? They cannot move any lower. They would have to move higher than the Ajna center, which humanity now is said to be. So would they have some place within the head centers under Vulcan? Because Vulcan and Taurus represent these greater seven in the region of the head. And the new group of world servers might be transposed somehow to that level. Well, anyway, the correspondences don't yet work out entirely, but close enough to provoke thought. So we're in here, and I've probably said it, we're in B. I hope I said it when we started. I think I did. It was for that reason that the will aspect was involved, for the reason that the will aspect was involved, that I made our last point in our consideration of the seven rays to be a consideration of the rays, constellations, and planets and given in tabulation 10, because this tabulation deals with the will aspect. If the new group of world servers is kind of a lower reflection, in a way, of Vulcan, and then of the Great Bear, we have these, excuse me, the Yes, we have the possibility there of the Great Bear, as it rules head centers, being somewhat correlated with the new group of world servers who, through the power of will, help to direct the lesser centers. And it could be as well that there's a way in which the heart in the head center is involved with hierarchy. Well, what I'm trying to do, you see, is to look at the different groupings and see what they would represent structurally in the different sizes of containers. Let's just say the planetary logos is one size of container. Sanakumara is a lesser size. Humanity as a kingdom is a still lesser size. So usually a group which is of a particular type of expression in a lower, in a bigger group, will be in a higher place in a lesser group and a still higher place in a still lesser group. How to, I hope that's clear. In other words, if the new group of world servers is a heart center in humanity, then in a greater sphere of Sanakumara, it is a higher center, the Ajna center. Now, can we really consider the throat or the Ajna center because they have respectively 16 and maybe 96 or 98 petals higher than the 12-petaled heart center? Maybe in a way we can. The heart center is involved with expressions of astrally polarized man, mentally polarized man. The heart center has a Buddhic connection, but it has fewer capacities than the throat center and, in a way, far fewer capacities, as petals are capacities, than the Ajna Center. As for what humanity, the new group of world servers, and the hierarchy would be in relation to the solar logos, they would be much more minute, of course, because we have the planetary scheme as a probably a base of spine chakra, and we have greater chakras still than humanity in the scheme, in the chain lords and their chain expression, and the globe lords and their expression, and humanity would be smaller, and the new group of world servers smaller. What are they in relation to the globe? That's the question. Maybe in relation to the globe, they have quite a high function. But when we talk about in relation to the planetary logos, do we mean the lord of a planetary scheme, or do we mean do we mean the lord of a chain or the lord of a globe? That kind of discrimination, I think, still remains to be made. It's also the question of how many Shambhalas are there in our planetary scheme. We have a Shambhala on our planetary globe, but we have Buddhas of activity. I think page 873 or 878 in Cosmic Fire, we have the Buddhas of activity with a still higher correspondence on the chain level and a still higher correspondence on the scheme level. So, is there a higher correspondence than to Sanatkumara on the chain level and then on the planetary scheme level? The law of analogy makes you ask those questions, but there's no easy solution for that. So it was for the reason that the will aspect was involved that I made our last point in our consideration of the seven rays to be a consideration of the rays, constellations, and planets as given in tabulation 10. There, the interrelation there given concerns the first aspect of the will. Well, the seven the seven transmitting sources are considered aspects of the will because they come from the Great Bear. And the Great Bear as a whole upholds a powerful first ray energy. So its seven stars would transmit the seven rays from the point of view of the will. The interrelation there given concerns the first aspect of the will, as I have here indicated. Okay, the analysis of this tabulation will complete our consideration of esoteric astrology. Oh, goodness. Are we that far along and has so little been understood? All right, I'm going to turn here to page 610, and you'll see basically what we're talking about. And you know this. You've seen this, I'm sure, many times. But here are two figures, and there is the cosmic systemic figure with one of the stars of the Great Bear. You wonder if it's a blind for a constellation. For instance, that which transmits the first ray within the one about whom not may be said may be, let us say, the Great Bear as a whole. That which transmits the second ray in the one about whom not may be said may be Orion. Many will dispute that. We have a Sirius connection, of course, and we have a Little Bear connection, both of which are connected with the sun aspect. In other words, instead of simply one star here, we may have a constellation. It sometimes seems like the tail wagging the dog. It's as if a star is a blind for the aggregation to which it belongs. Namely, the first ray star in the Great Bear might be a blind for the entire Great Bear constellation, or at least for the seven stars, which are called the Cosmic Manu by Stephen Pugh. I think it's a good name. And, you know, as we go through the different stars, they might each be blinds for constellations with which they are affiliated. So the second ray star in the Great Bear would be affiliated with the second ray constellation, and the one about whom not may be said. A third ray star with a third ray constellation, fourth, and so forth. In a way that would satisfy me just a little more than seeing that one star transmits through three constellations, some of which may be immensely more powerful than that star. So what's really happening? Is there blinding going on here in relation to the cosmic structure? I can see one star having a relationship to a planetary logos, but let's remember that some of these stars are in the head of the one about whom not may be said, and they are being related to constellations which are part of the major head center, and in fact of the highest of the head centers, the heart and the head of the one about whom not may be said, which to me is the major center in the head. So is the tail wagging the dog, I continue to ask, when we look at the one here and the many below. And, you know, some people will say to me, well, why don't you think occultly? But I think I'm thinking in proportion here. And when you have a simple solar, logos, it's hard to think that it may be somehow working through three constellational logoi. Anyway, this is the more macrocosmic picture, the double Dorje, or it's a Dorje is what it is, really. The Tibetan symbol of the Dorje probably has a lot to do with this kind of figure. It may have been derived from this figure, kind of an hourglass figure. And then, of course, there is this figure, which fills it in, and which gives us, for instance, an example of how it works with the first ray. So, okay, going back to our place here, we're looking at a very important chart, and it's been hinted at before, and collections have been made showing how the will aspect of the seven rays work through three constellations each and through the rulers of these constellations. The interrelation there given concerns the first aspect of the will. I suppose there's the second and third aspect of the will. We might say that Sirius, or maybe the Little Bear, conveys the second aspect of the will, and that the Pleiades, or some aspect of them, conveys the third aspect of the will. The interrelation there given concerns the first aspect of the will, as I have here indicated. The analysis of this tabulation will complete our consideration of esoteric astrology. So we're nearing the end. Where is our comprehension in all this? The seven stars of the Great Bear are the originating sources of the seven rays of our solar system. And there are, I believe, other constellations than the one about whom naught may be said, which may be even greater sources of the seven rays. And finally, probably within the head centers of the one about whom naught may be said, are the ultimate sources of the seven rays for our local cosmos system. But let's just say the seven rays make their way into our solar system to the seven heavenly men, and probably one star in the Great Bear particularly is affiliated with that lesser star we call our sun, and maybe that is the star Mizar, which is the second star with its double, visual double, Alcor. So the seven rishis of the Great Bear express themselves through the medium of the seven planetary logoi. Do they actually express themselves through the medium of three constellational logoi? That's a question of proportion which bothers me, but one day, I'll know whether I'm dealing with my own stupidity or with an occult blind, or simply that what is said literally is the case. The seven rishis of the Great Bear express themselves through the medium of seven planetary logoi, probably sacred logoi, and then secondarily through non-sacred logoi. In other words, let's just say that we have a third-ray planet for the moment, because we are largely a personality as a planetary logos, even though the soul, we're a soul-infusing personality, a two and a three. So maybe there's a mixture of influences coming from the second and third star of the Great Bear to our planetary logos. However, it would be going straight to Vulcan, not to Vulcan. It would be going straight to Saturn as a major third-ray planet. Earth and Saturn, third-ray planets, and on some level, if we had any monadic influence operating from the Great Bear, it would go to Saturn and to Mercury. Mercury, I hypothesize as being a major third-ray monad. So the seven rishis of the Great Bear express themselves through the medium of seven planetary logoi, who are their representatives and to whom they stand in the relation of prototype. A superior type which the planetary logos emulates. Of course, the planetary logos is still quite far away from the status of our solar logos, and these stars of the Great Bear are far in advance of the stars of our particular sun. These seven planetary spirits, the sacred ones, manifest through the medium of the seven sacred planets. So somehow, the seven stars are the prototypes of the seven planets through which the sacred planetary logoi express. Each of these seven rays coming from the Great Bear are transmitted into our solar system through the medium of three constellations and their ruling planets. And this is what is difficult. Do the centers in the region of the head, and let us say they are within the head or above the head or both, do they use the heart and the head center as a medium of transmission? Because that's what those constellations are. They are heart. They are centers in the heart. They are centers within the one about whom naught may be said. And they occupy the heart in the head center, the most important of the head centers. So the seven stars are the prototypes of the seven planets through which the seven planetary logoi express. And I've been speaking about the proportion problem. Each of these seven rays coming from the Great Bear are transmitted into our solar system through the medium of three constellations. I could say three signs. It wouldn't be difficult to think of three signs, because signs are concentrated influences. And what I wanted to say is that the heart and the head center of the one about whom naught may be said is a major, major center, whereas the seven head centers in the vicinity or the in the region of the head are major in their own way, but they are less potent. So we have the major head center with these 12 constellations being considered somehow as minor to the controlling head centers within the head. This has to be worked out. There's some kind of blind going on here. In any case, when I see one little star controlling some sometimes fantastically powerful constellations, it seems difficult. Of course, maybe transmission through is not the same as controlling, and maybe simply because we have an elevated elevated point here, it doesn't mean that it is superior in any way to these constellations, but simply that there is a method of transmission. But usually, elevation on such a diagram indicates superiority. The higher the elevation, the greater the superiority. So this has still to be worked out. The following tabulation will make this clear, but must be interpreted only in terms of the present turn of the great zodiacal wheel of 25,000 years, and we can ask if the transmission of a ray through a particular zodiacal constellation may change every 25,000 years or so. Let's say if the first ray is operating principally through Aries at this time, could it operate in 25,000 years from now principally through Capricorn or through Leo? That would be the kind of change that I could see might happen. I think it would be difficult to think of a complete reorganization of triangles, since Aries, Leo, and Capricorn all have much in their meaning concerning the first ray. So I don't think, for instance, that we will suddenly find a triangle like Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces, which is the second ray triangle presently, transmitting the first ray. So I think the changes would have to do with sustaining the triangle, but having the ray be transmitted through a different constellation than it is now. And you understand what I mean by signs. You know, gathered around the sun may be Davic sections of a sphere which correspond to the different constellations. Alan Leo says that gathered around our planet are like sections of an orange, a 12-fold sphere divided into 12 sections, each of which corresponds to one of the constellations of the zodiac. So I could see rays reaching our solar system transmitted through signs easier than I can see them transmitted through constellations. It seems like you have to kind of reverse your direction. You have to descend. While you are descending, you have to ascend first to something that's really superior and is found in the major head center of the one about whom naught may be said. So you understand my reservation there and my desire to see a clarification here. So what have we here? The following tabulation will make this clear. What is the following tabulation? Let us go here to page 588. Okay, and 588, Esoteric Astrology, and we don't have that tabulation. Yes, we do. The various aspects of the wheel. We have the tabulation coming up after this section. All right, let's move on. Various aspects of the wheel. We now have the difficult task of considering an, well, should we be beginning here? The tabulation, it seems to me, should be above this. Let me put this in another place, or at least to copy it. in, as it were, another place, because we seem to be starting on a new subject, and I'm not at all sure that we should be. All right, let's see. So here, it says, the following tabulation will make this clear. So, where is that tabulation? It should follow after the word following. Could there be a mistake in the way this is put together? I don't have the book in front of me right now. But anyway, we are familiar with this tabulation, with each one of the rays coming through different constellations. When I look at the ray of ceremonial order, I would say, let us consider Draco the dragon as the source of the local cosmic kundalini and somehow distributing the seventh ray. Let that great constellation work through three, are they lesser constellations, Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, which are then ruled by these other planets and transmit the seventh ray. When I look at devotion and idealism, can that be found in our own local stellar seven solar systems, of which ours is one and which might be considered a Sirian system? Can our particular local constellation transmit through Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces? Some of those are very great constellational lords, and I would suspect greater constellational lords than our own, the lord of our own local cosmic logos, or his system, our local cosmic logos. Well, I'm not going to solve this right now, but there is some problem of proportion. When it comes to concrete science, what would be the constellation there? Would that constellation be the Little Bear, which in a way is the higher octave of Sirius? Would that be the case? Possibly. The fifth ray is connected with the Ajna Center, and there is reason to believe that if the Great Bear rules the seven head centers of the one about whom naught may be said, the Little Bear could rule the Ajna Center with its predominating fifth ray. Some people will say, well, Sirius is a twofold system. There's Sirius A, Sirius B, so it is an Ajna Center, just like our own Ajna Center with two petals. It could be looked at in that way. But I want to think about the Little Bear as with Polaris giving us direction, as the Ajna Center does. Polaris can be associated with the head center, I suppose, and with the first aspect, and with Shambhala, and yet I feel that there is an aspect of Shambhala which is connected to direction, and which Polaris could indicate, and I think when you look at the Ajna Center, it gives the man the sense of direction. Even Sagittarius, with its focused direction, can be easily correlated with the Ajna Center. When we look at the fourth, here I am. Okay, when we look at the fourth, I'm going to take a pass on that for just a moment. I'd rather go to an aspect of the Pleiades, giving the third ray. But which aspect of the Pleiades? That is the point. There's every reason to believe that these many, many Pleiades, a local cluster, has a logos all of its own, which really is a cosmic logos, the one about whom naught may be said. So maybe some aspect of the Pleiades, can it be the seven sisters or some other stars there, carry the third ray through these three constellations, one of which is a very great one, Capricorn, and through the rulers. When it comes to love wisdom, there is debate. Some people will say that Orion should more represent the solar plexus. There are some statements which could seem to suggest that as we look at the third of the cosmic paths. Yes, we could. There has been the idea that in the headdress of the pharaoh was the great bear, in the headdress of the pharaohess was Orion. And this seems to me to be the first and second aspect. Could such an Egyptian symbol symbolize a deeply esoteric understanding that Orion could be, in fact, the heart center of the one about whom naught may be said? And it's a tremendous constellation. And it could be, you know, when we think about, well, maybe the second star and the Great Bear is working through these three. Indeed, it could be. But could that be a blind? Could that second star be a blind, in a way, for this super constellation working through these different constellations and working out finally here? Now, in the first ray configuration, we could say, well, it's Benet Nash or Al-Kaid, two names for the same first ray star in the tail of the bear. Yes, okay. But it could also be the entire Great Bear as the cosmic Manu working out, giving its energy through the lesser constellation Aries, through Leo, quite a magnificent constellation. Capricorn quite strong as well. The stars of Aries are not especially powerful. And could this Great Bear work itself out, the logos of the Great Bear working through, maybe they are subsidiary logoi, the logoi of these constellations, at least the head center, the heart and the head center as a whole is a major center, but what about the parts that comprise it? Are they greater or lesser? Well, you'd have to ask that about yourself. You'd have to say, if you take petal by petal in your own heart and the head center, what is its spiritual status when compared to any one of your chakras? Is it superior or is it not superior? When it comes to the fourth ray, this is a little bit more difficult. And I think we, you know, there's a sense in which our own local constellation may be connected with the fourth ray, or maybe Sirius A and Sirius B. After all, the fourth path goes to Sirius. What ray does Sirius really transmit? It will be connected with Manus for sure, the fifth ray, just like Venus is. It will be connected with the second ray because it is the cosmic Christ. Which of the constellations and the one about whom naught may be said, his chakric system carries the fourth ray. Our local seven solar systems, of which ours is one, could be a candidate for it. The reason I say that is because Taurus and Scorpio are the two constellations through which the seven solar systems express, and they both, but maybe just in this world period, but both anyway, express the fourth ray through Mars. There is a question of solar plexus and solar plexus, which is the sixth ray, and the fourth ray, which could be connected with what center? Not the base of the spine, if anything, maybe an ajna center. So there is some question here which I am not in a position to resolve at this time. He did tell us that the whole question of the seven solar systems has to do with desire, works out through Mars, the planet of desire, and works out through two constellations deeply connected with desire, one of which is ruled by Mars, that is Scorpio. So there's a 6-4 combination there. And I think, you know, it has been suggested also that the great constellation of the Centaur may be in some way involved transmitting the sixth ray. And of course the constellation called Crux, the Southern Cross, may be related to the base of spine on the seventh ray, with the idea of Draco being a kind of an elevated kundalinic expression, kundalini having risen to the region of the head. But I think when we're looking at the head center of the one about whom naught may be said, we could say, well, the top of our solar sphere should indicate that. So the Great Bear is found representing seven head centers, and why should not the Little Bear also represent some type of head center, such as the Adsner Center. Is there a center close by for the Alta Major? I don't think we're going to disentangle this entirely. All that can be given are certain hints, and I trust that these hints may offer suggestions to people in the future who can think more synthetically than is presently possible. I mean, there is a triangle called Great Bear, Little Bear, Sirius, and there's no question that the Little Bear represents the second aspect. But what is the second aspect in the head? It is the Adsner Center. The second aspect under the diaphragm is the solar plexus, and there's every reason to think that Sirius, as the loyal dog following Orion, which we can say is the heart center, represents the solar plexus, and that its constellation, the constellation in which it plays a part, which may be one of our seven solar systems, could represent the solar plexus. There's every reason to think that. When it comes to the sacral center, in the one about whom not may be said, maybe the centaur is a good example of the sacral center, but what ray comes through the sacral center? At present, it is the sixth, it's the seventh ray when we look at the human being, but there's every reason to connect Mars and the centaur with the sacral center in an earlier stage of the expression of that center. So then we have to look at what the base of the spine could represent, and is it a seventh ray center? That is possible as well. In some respects, Orion is the fifth center, and some have considered it to be in the solar sphere, on more or less on the equator of our local cosmic sphere, to be a solar plexus center, and there are reasons possibly for that. There are possibly reasons for that. But it is such an elevated constellation. And the question is, how far progressed is our local one about whom naught may be said? Because then perhaps the brilliance of the constellations could tell us something about which chakras are most developed. In our local one about whom naught may be said, is the solar plexus the major center? Is the heart the major center? Is the throat the major center? What is the evolutionary level of our one about whom naught may be said? Well, we don't know. We only know that the evolutionary level of our solar logos is that of a cosmic initiate of the second degree. We don't know the evolutionary level of our local cosmic logos. But what could it be? What could it be? It's possibly a solar plexus center within the one about whom naught may be said. Which are the brightest stars here? Sirius is one of the brightest. Maybe it is the most powerful star, but maybe Vega is even more powerful. So this is a whole area. You know, Vega is a star more brilliant than Sirius in terms of absolute magnitude, I believe. I'd have to look that up. I'm getting into an area here which is mind-boggling. You know, very, very interesting, really. Let's see, if I look up Vega in Wikipedia, here it is. And maybe we'll be able to see its relative magnitude and how many solar luminosities it has. The apparent magnitude is 0.03. And let's see if we can see anything here. Parallax luminosity, 40.12. It is more luminous than Sirius, which at latest calculation is 33 times more luminous. So its luminosity is 40 times brighter than the Sun, at least according to this. Now, if we look up Sirius, let's just see, huh? S-I-R-I-U-S. and we look at the Wikipedia, we'll also look over here in the corner where it tells us something about its nature. And its luminosity is 25 times. Vega is definitely more powerful. Now, is the external power of a star, and is judging and its luminosity coming from that, is that a true indication of its inner development? Well, if we were to look at a human being, we say, well, this is really a brilliant human being, the aura is really brilliant, we would assume by analogy that there is quite a bit of internal development. We can look also at, as Nicholas suggests, we can look at Fomalhaut. And this is a star that he connects with Neptune. And we can look at the side here and look at solar luminosities. I'm very interested in solar luminosities. Do we see what it is, though? I'm not sure we do. Discovery date, etc., etc., orbital, right ascension, apparent distance. Let's look at the earlier one, Fomalhaut, here. And maybe here we'll be able to see something. Luminosity 16, less than Sirius. It has been associated, how far away is it from the Sun? It is 25 light years, pretty much in a way like Vega. Okay, but its luminosities are not that great. In a way, our Sun is quite a minor star by comparison. If our Sun is really the heart center of a local cosmic logos, then that heart center is not very well developed within the solar plexus. And what is more developed is both Vega, Sirius, and those two particularly. Vega has a lot to do with the throat center, with the magical words. Sirius possibly with a head center, or Procyon more with an ajna center. Let's take a look at the solar luminosities of Procyon. P-R-O-C-Y-O-N. Of course, this is my theory, and if it is incorrect, that the absolute luminosity of a being, of a star, tells us something about its inner development, then the whole theory crashes. Its luminosity is only 6 times that of the Sun. And Procyon leading, I think Procyon has a lot to do with the Ajna center. So we're trying to look at the relative development of our local cosmic being. And we would have a little difficulty if we put Sirius, well, Vega maybe at the throat center. If we put Sirius at the head center and the Ajna center less developed. The solar plexus may be Fomalhaut, says Nicholas. I think, you know, there's something to suggest that. How far can we go? You know, can we extend 25 light years in our local cosmos system? Alpha Centauri is pretty much like our Sun. Our Sun has to be the heart center. And Alpha Centauri could be the solar plexus, or possibly dealing with the centaurs, we could be dealing with the sacral center. So we have, and then there's Altair. Mm-hmm. Altair, how many solar luminosities for Altair? A-L-T-A-I-R, Altair star, and it is here that we will look. How many solar luminosities? 10. 10 times greater than the Sun. The Sun is, can it really be that our local cosmic logos is upholding the solar plexus position, is not all that well developed in its heart? Can you be more developed in your head and ajna than you are in the heart? As a matter of fact, we might consider our solar logos as the least developed of all the stars. There's none of them that is less. There are 10 solar luminosities here. Is Altair the base of the spine? Can it be so? It represents the ego. So all of these, you know, Sirius 25, Vega 40, Fomalo 16, what's the other one? What am I missing? We'll have a very close development. It may be that the lesser, the stars beneath the diaphragm, like Alpha and Beta Centauri, they're not much more than our sun. The heart center would be the least developed. And I'm forgetting one that I looked at. Why am I forgetting that? So we have Vega 40, we have Sirius 25, we have Fomalo 16, we have Altair 10, we have our sun 1, and let's look at just for fun, or Procyon. It was approximately 6, wasn't it? So that would be perhaps the Agena center, the anticipatory center, perhaps. Other than that, we would have to look at the solar plexus because there is such an eagerness in Procyon. And since it is the lesser dog, it would be in a lesser position than Sirius, wouldn't it? So is Vega the head center? Is Vega the throat center? Is Sirius the head center less developed? Is, actually speaking, do we have a rather monastic local cosmic logos in which the heart center is not much developed? Is that possible? Where am I going with this? It certainly is a kind of a tangent, isn't it? But forgive me, as long as I have the internet available and Wikipedia available, why not use it to take a look? Okay, so we have now the Alpha Centauri. All right, let's look there and we'll say, what does the Wikipedia say about Alpha Centauri and its degree of development? How many solar luminosities, if that indicates degree of development? Its luminosity is simply 1.5, not much. So is it possible that the lower centers are not that much developed anymore for our local cosmic logos? Can it be that it's really quite a highly developed cosmic logos in terms of the one about whom not may be said, with the lower centers rather less developed than the higher centers, quite a bit less developed? I think I looked at Altair, didn't I? I think it was 10, wasn't it? So can it be that since the solar plexus of the one about whom not may be said may be quite highly developed, we might think of a possible astral polarization for that being? See, a higher developed solar plexus center would have certain stars in it representing the higher centers in that solar plexus center be more developed. And we have Vega, maybe representing the throat, possibly. Sirius, the head. We need an Agena center here. Is it Procyon? If we have Fomalo, the solar plexus would be 16, but the sacral center would have been reduced. It's only the heart center that seems out of proportion. That our sun, being the heart center of a local cosmic logos, or a kind of a local one about whom naught may be said, at least there's no hints given about this, that the 7 solar systems of which ours is one, we would have then a heart which is the least developed star. The least developed star or the least luminous star in these local, among these local stars would be the sun. Now this would correspond to the fact that the in the Great Bear, Megrez might be the least developed star. Megrez. let's see how this is. And this is the Wikipedia. Delta Ursa Major, with Megrez having 14 luminosities, but much less, let us say, than Dubhe. D-U-B-H-E. I think this must be the hint we use. If Megrez is not very developed, then perhaps we have a reason for our solar logos as being relatively small in luminosity. This is Dubhe, and I think we will find in Dubhe declination, right ascension. Mm-hmm. Well, why do we not see that here? Or am I simply overlooking the solar luminosity of Dubhe? Could I have, could I go back and find Dubhe, Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, Imperial Black? No, nothing like that. Well, did I just overlook it? Ursa Major, parallax distant, temperature, and no statement concerning luminosity. Why is that? Let's see if we can look here. Luminosity of Dubhe. I'm out to try to prove this. Luminosity of Dubhe. Luminosity 224. Okay, wow. There we go. So here's Megrez having a, in the Great Bear, having a luminosity of 14 solar luminosities, and Dubhe having 224 solar luminosities. Even Phegda, I think, let's do it this way. Phegda luminosity. Let's see if we can look at that. Phegda's luminosity is what? Maybe it'll tell us in the Wikipedia. Right ascension, visual magnitude, distance, light years, and maybe not. Maybe not. This is a list of stars. Phegda constellation of words. Phegda brightness 41. Let's see. Maybe we don't see this so well. There are many, many stars in the Great Bear. Absolute magnitude, visual magnitude, and if we can find Phegda here, Alpha Mizar. Well, I'm going to, its absolute magnitude is minus 101. Eta, Ursa Major, minus 6, and Epsilon, minus 2. And Mizar is quite faint. Okay. I'm sorry for the delay here. Phegda in the brightness as its size, but it's the constellation of words. That's quite an old source. Maybe that's not such a good source. Ursa, okay, constellations Ursa Major, the Great Bear, Ursa Major, etc. And let's see if we can find it here. Aha, uh-huh. Maybe here we can. Al-Kaid, Dubhe, Merak, Fad. Maybe that's what it is. The brightness is 2.5. 84, yes, Phegda. It's in the thigh of the bear. And Megrez is less bright, because the higher the magnitude of brightness, the less bright the star is. So at least we will have a still stronger Phegda, stronger than the sun. When it comes to Dubhe, it seems to be the brightest. No, maybe Alioth is the brightest because it has the lowest. Al-Qaeda is similar, but we're not really seeing the absolute magnitude or what the solar luminosity may be. So I'm going to ask, let's say, solar luminosity of Phegda. This is a bit of a research here, and I hope we all have patience here. Solar luminosity, this describes how much brighter than the sun. And there is given a formula here, but we are not exactly zeroing in on Phegda. It is epsilon, or is that epsilon fad? Let's see. Well, okay. So this is constellation Ursa Major, declination apparent magnitude 2.44, proper motion, and here we have fad. Okay, proper name, and let's see, visual magnitude, BT magnitude. I'm not sure we're going to get the solar luminosity here. No, maybe not. Well, it's too complicated at the moment, but I hope you see the direction in which I am going. The assumption here is that the brightness of the star has everything to do with the internal development of the being who is at the heart of the star. This, I think, may be the case. I think it's the case with Venus. We could say, what is the absolute magnitude of Venus? What is the visual magnitude? Visual magnitude for the Earth is very intense. But we cannot say, let's see, absolute magnitude of Venus. Okay, let's see if we can get this. And apparent magnitude of Venus is there. It's minus 4.89. It's quite strong. The absolute magnitude of Venus is minus 3.8. Is that really possible? That would be very high. It would be self-luminous. Are any of these actually self-luminous? So let's see. The apparent magnitude, Wikipedia, of Venus and brightness relative to Vega. Apparent minus 1, and number of stars brighter than apparent magnitude. So this is apparent magnitude, but it doesn't really tell us a story about the absolute magnitude, which is, of course, going to be less than the sun. How many solar luminosities do we really have? Well, I have diverted, haven't I? I've gone off on a research project here. Forgive me for that. The sun has a visual magnitude of minus 26.74. It's an apparent magnitude. And Venus, I suppose, is something like minus 4, something like that. So it shows, we'll have to get into logarithms here. It shows that it's much less bright than the sun per se. But when it comes to stars, at least, my assumption is, I think these are apparent magnitudes. Yes, Canopus has a huge absolute magnitude. But the, let's see, if we go to anything from Venus here, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, Rigel. Apparent magnitude of minus 38, quite intense. And our sun, I think, is minus 26, sun as seen from the Earth. But when it comes to as seen from one astronomical unit, yes, I see how we're doing this. All right, well, look, I'm not going to waste your time anymore here. I'm simply going to reaffirm my theory that the internal power of the being is shown temporally by its absolute magnitude, not its visual magnitude. So we have some absolute magnitudes of stars which are immense. Some carry how many luminosities? Betelgeuse. Let's try Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse luminosity 120,000 plus or minus. Now I have seen other luminosities of Betelgeuse which are even greater, even greater. So let's see if we see anything here on solar luminosities. 120,000 times greater than the sun, plus or minus 30. So anywhere from 90,000 to 150,000 times brighter than the sun. I'm assuming that the entity who is manifesting through Betelgeuse has a great development. Let's try Rigel. Rigel luminosity. Okay. And probably we will have to go to Wikipedia again. Luminosity. It gives us how much greater than the sun, but it doesn't tell us here proper motion. It's the radius and the mass of Rigel are given, but not the... I wonder why they don't have that. Let's see. Luminosity, what is the luminosity of Rigel? Maybe it will give us... Did we answer your question? Oh, brain games? That's not what we're looking for. No. Well, I just want to see if it's greater or less than Betelgeuse, actually. Big and giant stars, Rigel, the brightest star in Orion. It's got a 0.4 luminosity, 0.14, but that is not its absolute luminosity. Its visual magnitude, it's Rigel B, visual magnitudes here, and I guess not. I guess we're not going to see it here. I had an astronomy program, which I'm one day going to have again, and it's going to reveal there were some extraordinary luminosities here. I'm going to try one more attempt before I quit this, and it's going to be like this. I'm going to say, what is the solar luminosity of Rigel? What is the solar luminosity of Rigel? Okay. And let's see if this will give us anything or if it's just the same. It looks pretty much the same. Well, I'd like to be able to see this. English etymology, photometry, and... There we go. 117,000 times the luminosity of the sun. So Betelgeuse was anywhere from 120,000 plus or minus 30, as there seems to be some variability. These are immense stars, and the beings behind them must be very great indeed. So the properties are here, and Phaedra is relatively very small. It shines with about 14 solar luminosities, and it's comparable in the Great Bear, Megrez, not Phaedra, Megrez is comparable in the Great Bear to the small luminosity by comparison of our sun within the local seven solar systems. All right, well, I've certainly, for those who are interested in astronomy, they're probably pulling their hair, and those who are interested in other things what can I say? So I will say that this is the end. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure. Oh yes, that's our subject, isn't it? Esoteric Astrology. End of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142B, and we are on page, I guess it's 590. We were all over the Wikipedia, of course. Page 590, and beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 142C, page 590. And it is my great hope that this has been continuing to record. Okay. Forgive me for the last 15 minutes. Has it been 15 minutes? The idea is the hierarchy of luminosity and the hierarchy of power. That's what we're looking for. Okay. See you soon.